Good afternoon, Denver. This is Krista Kafer. Steve Kelly, unfortunately, is not here. He, you know, a very dear family friend of his passed away, and so he is at the funeral. Do keep him and Kathy Jo in your prayers. We've had a great show so far. You know, you may think, you know what, I hate the fact that I'm at work and I sometimes miss your show. That's okay. You can do a podcast at 710KNUS.com. You know, check out any of the podcasts there. Also, Kelly and Kafer's got a Facebook page now, and often I will post some of our best podcasts there. We've got some great guests. We had a very interesting guest earlier in the show. Keith Miller had taken some of the polling numbers and figured out that Trump supporters, by and large, about the, you know, there's the 30% or so that support Trump, are actually less religious than those that support other candidates, which I thought was fascinating. So it was a very interesting half hour talking about the poll results. Also, talking about why the media would have us believe otherwise. You know, they have this idea of that evangelicals are the prime supporters of Donald Trump. As it turns out, other peoples make up that support, and that evangelicals are much more likely to be skeptical of Donald Trump, and yet the press would paint it otherwise. Very interesting guest. Also, that piece is available at Kelly and Kafer on our Facebook page. Want to turn to something completely different, and that is local. Jeffco, I, of course, grew up in Jefferson County, went to Columbine High School. Not going to say how long ago that was, but suffice to say I did grow up in Jefferson County. So I watch with great interest the things that have gone on. There is a recall effort underfoot to get rid of the three conservative board members. I believe this has to do with the fact that the union has disliked them from the beginning. I think the union was shocked that they were even elected and has opposed them and opposed everything from merit pay to charter schools during their tenure, is now going after them. And would it surprise you that there has been some shenanigans, or at least reports of shenanigans? And by shenanigans, I'm saying, you know, less than ethical behavior by the unions behind the scenes to get these board members recalled. To learn more about these shenanigans, I give you John Newkirk. He is one of these board members and someone I've known for a long time and know to be a great man of integrity. John, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon, Krista. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Well, good.
Well, I wanted to
talk about our schools. I understand we both grew up in the Jeffco schools. I heard you say you went to Columbine, as I recall. Of course, I'm an Evergreen High School graduate. Go Cougars.
Go Rebels, what can I say? But, okay. Yeah, you grew up there. I grew up there, so I care about this area. You continue to be there. You live there. Your kids are educated there. It's been a difficult couple of years as a board member pushing for reform. Of course, they have a right to do the recall under law. They're doing it, or trying it, I should say. But some of the things they're doing to raise support for it, I have concerns, are not legal and certainly not ethical. What are you hearing?
Well, I think some of them have crossed the line. You know, there are a bunch of C4 groups, and I think the actual law is that 40% of the C4 activity can be political, which, of course, doesn't have any place in our schools. Electioneering certainly does not. So I've had numerous constituents call me up saying that, you know, there's some folks in the schools that are really crossing the line now. You know, back-to-school nights, they'll have aggressive people there, some of them from out of the district, that are actually pursuing the parents down the halls as they're going to their conferences or back-to-school nights, pushing literature on them that they don't want. I've also heard constituents complain that they have people actually showing up at local high schools trying to register 16- and 17-year-olds to vote, and even to the point where if they check conservative, then they'll belittle them in certain ways. So that's not part of our educational goals here, is to embroil our children in partisan politics. And I've also heard reports that the teachers are wearing their pro-union T-shirts and buttons, and even sticking signs up in their classrooms. So, no, that's not appropriate.
Well, I don't understand how they don't know that that's not appropriate. I mean, the fact, is it a sense of victimhood or entitlement that says, well, I can do this anyway. I know it's not what I'm supposed to do, but I need to do this anyway. I'm just trying to put my head or my feet in the shoes of an unethical person. Like, why is it that they sleep well at night knowing that what they're doing is wrong and unfair?
Yeah, well, of course, I can't speak for them personally, but it's something that I will look into. I mean, when a constituent calls with a legitimate concern, I have to look into it. I would hope that would be handled at the local level rather than having to go to the board, you know, if they complain to the principal. And the principal doesn't act on it, then I can see how it might escalate. But I would hope that individual principals throughout our district would exercise that discretion and common sense in not allowing this to go further than that.
Well, I know that the teachers I know that work for Jeffco and a couple of other districts would never bring politics into the classroom. They're there to teach whatever their subject is, and they do not bring their personal business or grudges into the classroom. You know, is there a counter effort to get the message out about what you guys have done during your tenure in office?
Well, again, I can speak for myself. I've been traveling throughout the district a lot, talking with Jeffco residents and thanking them for the opportunity 2 years ago to bring about some meaningful improvements in the public schools that we both graduated from. So I've certainly been out there. I've gone to several forums in the last week, and I've got several coming up, and talking about the great things we've been able to accomplish in just 2 years.
Well, and I think it's interesting how, at least on the at the time, it was a bit controversial, and that's the AP U.S. history standards, and you as a board had considered looking at these just to make sure that they were balanced, you know, to see if they were balanced or not. And as it turns out, they were not balanced, and the AP history, they've actually kind of worked on them and made them the standards a little bit better.
I'm very proud of that, and I'm proud of my colleague Julie Williams for being on the forefront of that. We have a policy in our district. Technically, it's policy IGA that states that any time there is a change in the curriculum or the framework, that it must be reviewed. And not only that, but it has to be reviewed every so many years. I think it's 3 or 5 years. I don't have the policy in front of me. So we asked the question, we know there's been a major change to the framework, and B, when was the last time this particular curriculum, AP U.S. History, was reviewed? And I didn't get any satisfactory answer. So, of course, I supported reviewing the curriculum, but they turned that all into a censorship meme, which, to me, that was way unacceptable. I mean, we're talking about an exploitation of impressionable young people by persons in a position of trust. They told these students that we were censoring their history, which was not only inaccurate but grossly unfair to those kids.
Well, the College Board has now changed the frameworks to make – they recognize that they were biased, and they've made some changes. My understanding, having interviewed Stanley Kurtz a couple weeks ago, that the changes really probably didn't go far enough, but at least they acknowledged there was a problem and they did something about it. Have you received either in voice or in print an apology from the union?
No, we haven't. And in fact, we've received a lot of positive stories on this nationwide. I mean, there was something in the Wall Street Journal a couple weeks ago. There was something in National Review, New Republic, something like that last week, saying that, this was a proper thing to do, because if anything was being censored, it was things that were left out of the prior framework that has since been changed. So I think that was a very positive outcome. There was also a monopolistic component of the College Board that bothered me somewhat, too. When they told us, hey, this is the curriculum, take it or leave it, and we will not give you college credit unless you take it, that kind of started a little discussion in my mind of how can these people take and say dictate what the curriculum will be, or else our kids don't get college credit. So there are other alternatives now. There's concurrent enrollment. There's local colleges where they can get college credit as well.
Well, it's fascinating that this conversation I had with Stanley Kurtz is that there are people in D.C. and New York and other places actually looking at setting up a parallel system, a college board that would have standards and tests similar to AP, but perhaps in history or some other subjects that have become fairly biased, that they would reflect a more mainstream ideology, and that kids would be able to take those tests and get college credit. It sounded like a very exciting project.
Mm-hmm. Well, good. And if it took something like this last year to start that dialogue, well, all the better.
Well, when it comes to particularly history, I as somebody, and that's my bachelor's is in history, I am particularly sensitive. The idea that teachers are teaching Howard Zinn without providing any balance it bothers me. And Stanley Kurtz was saying that Howard Zinn weighs heavily in. You won't find him in the standards, but what you'll find him in is in some of these supporting, teaching supports that you get, the training that teachers are provided, the books that teachers are provided. There is a definitely a Zinn tilt towards some of those materials. So having some standards that are more broad based and not so sort of anti-American would be helpful. What are some other messages that you as a board member are getting out about the last couple of years that you've been in office, the things that you've managed to accomplish?
Well, as I said, we were voted by a fairly strong majority to bring about some meaningful improvement to these schools. And, of course, that's real close to my heart because I attended these schools, Wilmot Elementary and Evergreen Middle and Evergreen High School. So we set out to do certain things, and we put on our campaign websites, and by and large, we pretty much said what we're going to do, and we've done it, although we still have the proverbial miles to go before we sleep. A few of these things are, over the last 2 years, we've increased the teacher compensation by over 7%. And despite predictions to the contrary, we've had a lot of people moving into our district, especially up in the Northwest. And we've had, after years of declining enrollment, over a decade, I think, our enrollment is going up. And we were able to fund building a new school in Northwest Arvada without going into debt.
That's great news.
Savings other places, $18 million school. And we worked on something called student-based budgeting that kind of empowers the local principals to make more local decisions. And a big one for me is, in Jefferson County, we've got between 7,000 and 8,000 public charter school students who have chosen to go to one of 16 charter schools. Historically, they had been underfunded, up $700, $800 per head less per year. Now, you look at a classroom of 25, and that makes a big difference, that $25,000 for that classroom. We ensured that every student is funded equally now, regardless of which public school they're choosing to attend.
Well, I appreciate that you're bringing fairness to that. The number of charter schools, it's interesting that Jeffco and Denver, very similar in terms of population, and yet Denver has, I think, twice as many charter schools. I appreciate that this board has been more open-minded to parent choice than previous boards, and not only in terms of how you fund students in these schools, but also in being open to having some new schools open up. I really appreciate that.
Well, thank you. And, of course, it's a matter of quality, not quantity. I'm not out there to say we have to have X number of charter schools in Jeffco. They have to be quality charters. But you, as you said, Krista, you look next door to Denver, and especially with our at-risk population, and some of these ACT statistics that just came out in the last few days are very interesting, especially the charter school called DSST and others, Strive and KIPP and so forth, which are flourishing in Denver. But frankly, I think that they were historically intimidated to try to apply in Jefferson County right across Sheridan. And they could do some great things for this district.
Yeah, particularly in Lakewood.
And they have in Denver.
Well, and I've noticed that the northern suburbs, Lakewood, Arvada, there just aren't a lot of charter schools. And particularly, there are parts of Lakewood. Well, yeah, and I say, every community can benefit from having a charter school because you have charter schools that are for at-risk kids. You have charter schools that are for high-performing kids. You have charter schools that simply offer a different curriculum but bring in all kinds of kids. It's an exciting part of our school portfolio in any district. And so I remember just being disappointed when I was a school evaluator that there were far fewer charter schools in Jeffco than the population would predict. So you guys, go on.
I was astonished the other night when we were at a public forum and one of the candidates who is seeking to replace me in the recall made the statement that charters do not equal choice.
Maybe she's open to it. It's because she wants vouchers.
Well,
I'm being facetious.
I don't know, but to me, you ask any of those 7,000 or 8,000 students that choiced into Golden View Classical Academy, into Edinburgh Classical Academy, into Mountain Phoenix, into any of these. If that wasn't the choice that they deliberately made because they thought that was the better fit for them or their children, that is absolutely an important part of our portfolio of choices, as you say.
Well, it's interesting that we've got a board member running to replace you that does not support parent choice. Parent choice is whether you exercise that choice or not, whether you know, every parent is going to exercise that choice depending on what neighborhood they choose to live in, whether or not they choose a charter school, a private school, or use inter-district school choice. It's interesting that we've got somebody running for office that opposes parents using choice to select charter schools. John Newkirk, we've got to go. We've got a break coming up. How can folks tap into knowledge about you? Do you have a website?
Well, I didn't think I was going to have to be running another campaign here in 2 years, but you can go online and just Google John Newkirk, Facebook John Newkirk for Jeffco Schools, and really you don't even have to remember my name or any of the other candidates. You just have to remember to vote no on the recall for all three and let the staggered board terms proceed as they were intended by law. That's really how you can do. You can help me.
Plus, it's a repudiation to the, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars that are being wasted on this recall, given that a real election is coming up in the near future where they could have made those choices. Thanks, John Newkirk, for coming on. We'll have you on again in the future.
Okay. All the best to you. Thanks, Krista.
Thanks. We'll be right back when we get back your thoughts on the subject. 303-696-1971.